Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Your regular financial contributions make it possible for Beth Emmanuel to make D. Thomas Lancaster's weekly sermons available online. We genuinely appreciate your support and hope that you are blessed by these teachings. Feel free to download these audio files and share them with your friends and family. Please consider joining Beth Emmanuel's extended virtual family and support our efforts for the kingdom with a gift by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
I would like you to turn with me tonight for a little Rosh Hashanah meditation to the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, the vision and apocalypse beheld by John the Apostle while he was imprisoned on the island of Patmos during the reign of Emperor Domitian, the younger brother of Titus, who burned the temple of the Lord, the son of Vespasian, who led the legions of Nero against the Jewish people in the Jewish revolt. Revelation chapter 8 says, "Then the Lamb opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." What does it mean that there was silence in heaven for about half an hour? Well, tonight on the day of the trumpet, the eve of the day of the trumpet, I invite you to imagine that silence with me, hovering in the air, so quiet, like the calm before a storm, when not a breath of wind stirs a single leaf and not a blade of grass rustles when the song of the birds falls silent, and when the air is hanging heavy in pause, as if in anticipation, while thunderheads high above mount in soundless, graceful motion, quiet as smoke billowing, darkening the sky, electrifying the air with tension and anticipation, like a lion crouching, every muscle coiled, prepared to pounce on some hapless and unwary prey. In the holy hush, all the hosts of heaven fall silent. Silent are the cherubim. They take respite from the cry of their continuous kedusha of holy, holy, holy. They no longer grant permission to one another. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his abiding place. Silent fall the flaming tongues of the seraphim, and they bow their heads in reverie, and even their burning countenance seems dim. Silent fall the ophanim, ceasing their endless turning. The very wheels of heaven stop turning. The holy chayot fall quiet before the throne. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle cover themselves with their wings, lower their many eyes, and cease to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And even the roar of the fiery stream that issues from beneath the throne of glory fades and falls quiet like a river suddenly dammed up at its source. And the voices of those 24 elders who continually declare the worthiness of Hashem to receive glory and honor and power suddenly fall silent, and they stand like soldiers at attention, save their lowered gaze. Quiet fall the neshamot, the souls of an innumerable host of men and women from every tribe and tongue and nation on earth, and the awesome sound of their last Amen echoes and reverberates for a moment, like a great door being shut. And for this moment, the unification of the holy nation is checked, and the words, "Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom," are frozen in their throats, unspoken, locked, loaded, ready to be launched like a bullet from a chamber. For this moment, the souls of the martyrs who rest beneath the altar fall silent from their constant cry of, "How long, O Lord?" Now, Even the glad song of the starry host falls silent like a radio suddenly switched off and all heaven draws its breath. All angelic hosts fall quiet. All souls of the righteous who wait ever in anticipation fall quiet. All the symphony of the throne falls silent like the pause in the orchestra pit when the conductor raises his baton, holding it aloft, every horn and flute and reeded thing placed to the lips. The string players cradling their instruments with bows pulled back, ready to plunge on the string. The drummer pulls back his drumstick, poised to strike. And it says, "The Lamb opened the seventh seal, and there was silence for half an hour." And how long is half an hour in heaven anyway? How many years of men must pass during that half hour? A half hour of our time? What is it? A half a year? A half a lifetime? A half a century? 2,000 years? Who knows how long the silence lasts by the reckoning of our revolutions around the sun and the ceaseless spinning of the globe and the endless noise of this present age. The washing of waves, the rumbling of stone, the creaking of the boughs of trees, the stirring of foxes, the scratching of mice, the chatter of birds, the clatter of machines, the ceaseless chattering of fools, the endless business of ants who hurry back and forth. A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it rises, and the wind blows to the south, goes round to the north, round and around goes the wind on its circuits, and the wind returns, all streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To a place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing it. The ear is not filled with hearing. And all things are as they were in the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they are eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, ever unaware of the gathering water behind the dam, the mounting thunderhead that billows above. Two men are working in a field. Two women are grinding at a mill. The owner of the house sleeps soundly with no fear of a thief breaking in the night. The servants of the household eat and drink with drunkards and beat their fellow servants unconcerned. The silence in heaven above passes utterly unnoticed below, drowned out by the sound of the harpist and the musician, the flute player, the trumpeter, the craftsman of every craft, the sound of the mill, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, a billion lamps burning and blazing, headlamps by night, cities that never sleep, interstates that flow like rivers engorged with springtime floods, factories that thrum happily, manufacturing things that nobody needs but everybody wants, while merchants sail the waters with their cargo of gold and silver and jewels and pearls and fine linen and purple cloth and silk and scarlet cloth and all kinds of scented wood and all kinds of articles of ivory and all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves. That is human souls. And no one hears the silence. It's masked behind the drum roll of war, the roadside explosion, the roar of fighter jets, the whistle of ordnance, the rumble of tanks, the report of rifles, the thrumming sound of rotors, the burst of bombs and mortars, the rattle of machine gun fire, the moans and cries of victims of hatred. No one hears the silence behind the chanting of demonstrators, the shout of rioters, the noise of self-righteousness. Those below never notice the silence, never hear the absence of sound while they make great works, build houses, plant vineyards, gardens and parks, all kinds of fruit trees, buying male and female slaves, acquiring great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had ever been before them, gathering silver and gold and treasures of kings and provinces, buying singers and both men and women and many concubines, divas, entertainers, actors, celebrities, the delight of children, the delight of the children of men. And whatever a man's eyes desired, he did not keep from it. He kept his heart from no pleasure. And they indulged in all the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depravity of mind to do things which are not proper, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. They not only do these things, but they give hearty approval to those who practiced them while there was silence in heaven. And the hour had come for man to wake from sleep, for salvation was nearer than when we first believed. And the night was gone, and the day was at hand. But no one cast off the works of darkness, or girded on the armor of light, or walked properly as in the daytime, but ever indulged more and more in orgies of self-indulgence, in violence, in drunkenness, in stupor, in immorality and sensuality, in quarreling and jealousy and covetousness, making more and more provision for the flesh, gratifying its desires. And the hand of Cain was ever raised against Abel, whose blood yet cries from the ground. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursued the poor, boasted of the desires of his soul. The one greedy for gain cursed and renounced the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked did not seek him. All his thoughts were, "There is no God." Their works prospered at all times. Their judgments on high were out of his sight. The wicked said in his heart, "I shall not be moved through all generations. I shall not meet adversity." His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression, and under his tongue, mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages, in the hiding places. He murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws them into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. And they crushed and afflicted the heritage of the Lord. They killed the widow and the sojourner. They murdered the fatherless. And they said, "The Lord does not see. The God of Jacob does not perceive it." And all this while, it says in Revelation 8:1, there was silence for about half an hour. And it says, "Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them." You know, before the throne burn seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, the seven angels over the seven assemblies, the seven flames of the supernal menorah that burns ever brighter in the temple above, the seven cardinal angels, the spirits of God, each one mighty, each one powerful, each one nameless, each one a manifestation of the will of wills, each one extended his hands, received into his burning hands, each one a trumpet, each trumpet fashioned only to sound a single blast, each one assigned a single note to play, a blast, a tekiah, a teruah, a shavarim, a tekiah gadol, to break the silence. And each one drew in that breath, which is the breath of life, the spirit of the living God, with which to blast the trumpet, to blow the clarion call that would rend time and space and scatter atoms. But before a single note was heard, before the first angel touched the horn to his lips, another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And in that supernal half hour of silence that fills the expanse above the expanse, in that brief half hour of pause, he stepped forward with a golden fire pan, a censer on which glowing coals from the altar in heaven still smolder bright, brighter than the brightest fires of earth. And they came and poured out over the coals two handfuls of incense, thoroughly ground, delicate powder, which made a small, still sound, a faint hiss as it covered the heated coals, ignited and turned to smoke, a sweet-smelling aroma, the scent of life, the scent of longing, the scent of ineffable desire, the fragrance of a crushed heart, the fragrance of unrequited love, of the aching of orphans for a father never known, of the pleas of widows who wept to bury their husbands they loved and to face life alone, the fears of worries of uncountable mothers worried for their children, of prayers for healing, of the trials of saints and the confessions of sinners who declared, "For the sin that we sinned before you, be merciful and gracious, though we have no worthy deeds." The prayers of the repentant hearts of prodigals, "Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And the fervent intercession of the tzaddikim, who stood and pled on behalf of the world and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking, will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And the voices of mothers who cried, "Spare my son and turn his heart back to you." And fathers who said, "Provide for these that you have entrusted to me, for I depend upon thee." And the prayers of those who prayed in the name of the tzaddik and begged, "Lord, have mercy, remember to be compassionate. If you kept a record of sins, who could stand?" And all those voices that praised the one who made them, and gave thanks and glory and honor and majesty, and the fragrance of all those souls, the small, still sound of their voices, faintly heard in the hiss of the incense as it ignited on the coals. It could be tasted in the sweet scent of the smoke that filled the throne room, as it says, "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." A pleasing aroma, a sweet savor before the Lord as he drew in his breath and received those prayers until the last amen of the last prayer of the last word of the last saint rose in one last thin wisp. And at the last second, just as the unheard ticking clock of heaven was spent at 29 minutes and 59 seconds and the half hour was exhausted, then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And angels will hasten, shaking and trembling will seize them. And they will say, "Behold, the day of judgment," to order the legions above to assemble for judgment. And it says, "Now the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared to blow them." The first angel blew his trumpet, tekiah, shattering the quiet like glass. Shavarim, teruah, like crystal, like the first crack of lightning from the storm that flashes from the east to the west and snaps the air with the rip of thunder. Tekiah, tekiah, shavarim, tekiah, tekiah, teruah. Tomorrow we'll rehearse it. Tomorrow we will rehearse the breaking of the silence of heaven. We will hasten to add our prayers to the prayers of the saints that are offered before the throne, getting a few more prayers before the last minute, to be received as fragrant incense at the end of the 11th hour. We will hasten to add petition, confession, and praise as we prepare for the shattering of the silence. As Paul says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead. The Messiah will shine on you." And Ezekiel says, "Then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head, because he heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning." This is Rosh Hashanah, the festival of the great king. And the trumpet that we will listen for tomorrow is the fanfare of the coronation. So hear the words of the king's son as he speaks to you. Today's message has ever been that we should repent. And today he speaks to us from the 3rd chapter of Revelation, even the message that he spoke to the assembly of Laodicea in the days of John the Apostle and the wicked emperor Domitian. The risen and living one says to us, "Be zealous and repent. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. My brothers and sisters, be zealous and repent. L'shana tova tikatevu, may you be inscribed in the book of life for a sweet and good new year. May you rejoice with the company of the disciples to whom the Master said, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. A joyous festival to you, and may God grant you a good year of increase, of victory, of grace, forgiveness, increase in merit, and may you be the head and not the tail. And may the merit of our Master Yeshua be recalled on your behalf, and may we hear the shofar that will break the silence of heaven speedily, soon, in our lifetime. Say ye.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.